Hey, Sister Amen.
Hey, Brother Tupos.
Did we go preach the word today?
We did. Praise God.
It's always a joy when we get to go out and preach the word. We had a good morning, got up, and headed out to, where'd we go? First of all, we hope you're all doing well. Time for our edification audio. We went to a Christmas walk.
Well, to stand outside, preach the gospel, warn our neighbor in love and truth, and had quite a few good conversations.
Yeah, and then you walked down to a farmer's market. It was just down the road.
Yeah, it was like they got like this place set up under a roof that people just pull their cars in and they do a, like a little farmer's market there. But the people were coming from there going down to the Christmas walk thing.
Yep.
And so Sister and I were up there and we all kind of just moved around in the area.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. There was a fair amount of people.
Yeah.
They called the police, but the police just stayed across the street and watched us and we were legal and they never even made contact. So that was awesome. They did their job perfectly.
And they even waved.
They waved. They saw that we were peaceful.
Yeah.
And so that was good. They didn't try to harass us or anything because we were on a public sidewalk the whole time. Me and brother got to witness to quite a few people. The sisters were witnessing. And I got to call out Santa Claus and his wife and warn them about all the paganism that goes on there. And so we preached the gospel and lifted up Christ crucified there. Brother had a conversation with a Baptist man for about an hour. That was awesome. And then I had a short conversation, maybe 8 minutes, with a man that was, I think, the Holy Spirit pricked his conscience. Because
yeah.
He said, well, you may be right. If I die today, I might lose my soul. But he goes, how do you know I won't repent tomorrow? And I said, I want you to. I want you to repent today. And I think that's the guy that walked by you and then told his friend he needs a gospel card to give him a card.
Yeah, I was offering his friend a gospel card. And I don't know if he didn't hear me or not, but the man Brother Tupos witnessed to, he said, yeah, he needs one. So he came over and grabbed one for him.
So,
and then I kind of backed up some of the things Brother Tupos said to that man. And
yeah. So that worked out really awesome. And the link to our preach with all the video and audio is up at the top of the notification page.
Uh-huh.
And that links to Brother Zellos's. He also was there and did video and audio. So that links to his post as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a nice handful of conversations. I had a really good one with an older woman that she actually, at one point I was telling her how we need to follow the scriptures and not follow like our heritage like some people do. She said she was from a Baptist church. And I said, sometimes people would be like, well, my granddaddy was a pastor. And she kind of smiled like that was. And I said, but granddaddy could be wrong. And
right.
She said, yeah, he probably was.
Yeah.
And so that was an awesome conversation with her. And then I had a pretty good one, kind of with a younger woman and a young Lutheran man and a young couple, another young man, and a lot of quick conversations. So it was really fruitful. Sister talked to a man over there, too, and a handful of gospel cards went out, you know, so we were kind of smiling that it wasn't like a great big super event, you know, big and busy. But
yeah, it wasn't thousands of people, but there was hundreds.
Yeah, and they just kind of trickle in and out and here and there. And it's like a nice, easy, slow pace. You can move around.
Right.
And
also tons of cars going by seeing our gospel signs.
Oh, I know. I love that.
That's also really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so we finished that preach, and it was just starting to drizzle, and we said, hey, let's head to a marketplace, and we can work online. So we went to a marketplace, and we're all sitting there, and this man comes over, and I thought this was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This guy comes over, and he goes, I need to talk to you guys. And he pulls a chair up and sat down with us at McDonald's. We just went in to get a coffee, and we're sitting there working online. He overheard us talking.
He said that he feels God led him over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this man sat for probably a half an hour. Brother Zellos and I preached the gospel truth to him. We warned him about his church. He told us who his church was. We told him it was worldly. We told him if he's living of the world, and he admits he's living of the world, although he claims to be a Christian, that he's going to lose his soul. And then he confided in us that he's having some marriage issues, and he asked us if we would keep him in his prayers. And it was awesome. He didn't push back one thing.
Mm-hmm.
He sat there. He said, yeah, I am of the world. Yeah, I do believe that one sin will cost me my soul. And he got up and he said, you're going to hear from me, whether that happens or not, we'll see. But it was awesome. He was like a listener, and we planted tons of truth in him, and we were right at the right place and right time for him.
Amen. I love that.
He walked right up to us.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome. So we're rejoicing about that. So it was a really good ministry day, and so we're thankful for that. Any thoughts about the ministry that we did, Sister Ann, before we move on to a couple topics that I want to talk about?
No, go ahead.
Let's talk about what you and I were talking about. Reaching the person versus just contending against their sin. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about it for a while, and I think I shared on one of the other audios about it. I wanted to read Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what I've been trying to remind myself, that when we go out and we preach the gospel, you know, it's pretty easy if somebody's going to be soaking it up and listening, so you can just talk to them and fill them up. But then when you get somebody who might be, I'm not talking like an outright mocker or whatever, I'm talking about somebody who might be, you know, somebody you might still want to kind of go on with the conversation,
but more abrasive.
Yeah.
Or which is most of them.
Or maybe they just kind of push back a little bit, or some of them are really nice pusher backers.
Right.
And what I always want to tell myself is, I know it's a spiritual battle, and the Spirit of God and His Word speaks to the person, and whatever, maybe there's an evil spirit in there.
Yeah.
And they got false doctrine. And I don't want to take my words and just go after their words or what might be an evil spirit in there. I want to remember there's a person in between that. And so I want to be able to talk to the person and keep myself in a manner that this person might possibly be able to understand if they've got a seeking heart or whatever.
Right.
But, and it keeps me blameless.
Yeah, so our goal is, and we don't win people, the Lord calls people to His body, but our goal is to try and gain the person.
Yeah.
And not just refute their false doctrine. Refuting it is part of it. We just had a phone call with a young brother, and he just did a study on contending for the faith. That was really awesome. So we want to contend for the faith, and that's up on his Our Fellow Laborers page. You can go check that out, contending for the faith. We want to contend for the faith, but we don't want to contend for the faith and, like, throw the person out. We want to try to gain them. And right. give them the truth they need. So it's a real fine balance, because if someone's a mocker, they need to be rebuked. If someone's a false teacher, they need to be warned and walked away from. But if people are just like these marginal people or some listener, some abrasive, we really want it. We're trying to win that person for Christ. We don't win them, but we want them to come that direction. And so we got to be really sensitive some people would call it this, hate the sin, love the person. So we have to balance that, because we're loving our enemy, loving our neighbor, loving our brethren, but we hate their sin and their false ways, and we got to balance that out.
Oh, right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, you and I are passionate people.
Yeah.
And so I know I can get kind of swept away a little bit in the passion, going from word to word, word against word, sword against sword.
Yeah.
And we got to remember the person yielding it, we want to maybe prick their conscience.
Right.
And it was a blessing to me. I mentioned it the other day that the woman said, I can see that you care.
Right.
Or something like that. So I was really working hard to keep myself blameless, spotless, and maybe let them see there's love and care and concern.
Yeah, it's easy.
Even though I was refuting everything she said.
It's easy to go and we see so many people trampling the blood of Christ, living in false religion, living in worldliness and claiming Him. It's easy to be in constant rebuke mode 24/7. And while we do have to do rebuking, which means correction, they need correction, we want to do it in a way where we still come across as bold, but loving, kind, but firm, authoritative but sensitive. We want to walk that balance. So there's a time to rebuke hard. There's a time to entreat and draw them in.
Yeah, and like one of the things I've learned is I like to say, can I help you in that?
So
if it's somebody who, you know, you look like you might be able to have the conversation, even if they're a nice pusher back or whatever, you don't know if their flesh is just pushing against it, but maybe the spirit is being pricked.
Yeah.
And I like to say, can I help you with that?
Right.
And can I help you again? I love you. That's why I'm standing here. I got to help you with that.
Right.
And you say the word help, and maybe that helps them understand. I mean, you're saying the same words.
Yeah.
You're just putting that in there. You're kind of entreating them.
Yeah, and the other thing we have to be careful of, we can go the wrong direction. We can become man pleasers.
Oh,
we can become not telling people what they need to hear. We can become using friendship evangelism. The Bible doesn't do that anywhere. So we got to tell the truth. We got to be firm. We got to be loving. But we also want to be sensitive. We want to... We want to do all that we can to gain the naysayer, as Paul says in Titus. I think it's Titus 1. It's one of the qualifications of a leader to be able to try to gain a person that is naysaying against the faith.
Right. And every situation is different.
Yeah.
And on the audios that we have, you can't see the whole picture.
Right.
And so we just do the best that we can. It's more about the person than it is the audio that goes up.
But. Yeah, and you know what? Body language can say a lot too, can it?
Oh, definitely.
Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, like, because we do make audios that can be edifying, and maybe somebody learns how to witness to somebody who might be, you know, having trouble understanding things. And a person might go, wow, how come they kept going on and on and on with that person? But you can't tell, you know, even though maybe the person's pushing back, they may have, like, their eyebrows up, and they might be having a little bit of a, not amused, but maybe a searching, seeking face.
Right.
But their voice coming across sounds like... Yeah. They're like pushing back or whatever, so you don't know. You just judge every situation by their body language.
Yeah,
and you can usually tell when people are like mockers and going to come up and push against you and things.
Yeah, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say, give us things to say. Today, I thought it was poignant. Today, this man came up to me and I talked to him for just about 5 minutes, and he said, "What did he say?" He said, "Well, you're not letting me say anything," and I said, "Sir, how old are you?" And he said, 46. And I said, in 46 years, you haven't found the truth. He's still in the world. He's still in false church. He's still doing corrupt ways. And he admitted it. I said, maybe you need to listen to somebody and test to the word of God. I said, Jesus told me to go preach the word. He didn't tell me to go listen.
Yep.
And he looked at me and I said, preach means public crier. I'm going to cry the truth here to you. You need to hear it, sir. And he looked at me and he didn't know what to say to that. And he's like, well, yeah, okay, we're supposed to preach, not listen. So they kind of put two and two together and go, wait a minute, this guy's out here called, he's called of Christ to do this. He's supposed to preach. Maybe I should listen to him and go test what he's saying to the word of God. He's not here to listen to me. He's here to preach.
Right. And that's where you'll hear, sister, sometimes we'll talk over somebody.
Oh, yeah. You got to stop their blather and try to get truth into them, because we only got them for 10 minutes.
Yeah, because they like to stand and try to make excuses for their sin. And you try to be really gentle and kind for those who are deserving of that, you know, if they got a right attitude. But then there are times when you just got to start talking and talk over them.
Yeah.
And get the truth out, because otherwise they're just going to stand and take up all the time.
Amen.
With their false doctrine that they don't know how to get out of.
Yep. So if we're spirit-led and we do this and we have a good balance, I think we'll do well for the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do well for our neighbor, and we will push on.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts, Sister? I'm going to have another point, but any other?
Go for it.
Well, I wanted to talk about, I'm not going to go into the details of this, but we've been dealing with a man who's holding on to his flesh and rebellion against God, even as a claimed believer. And I wanted to talk about how, well, I'll just read Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the heart of man is wicked, even though if you're born of the Spirit, you get a new heart. You still got a flesh man in you that's fighting and warring. And this particular person, we've been trying to help, and it's really come to a head, and kind of been doing a lot of stuff in the flesh. And it's really hard sometimes to tell if people have done things in the flesh or in the Spirit, meaning have they just mechanically done things and overcome them, or did they rise up and do it in the Spirit? Because you see fruit, there's fruit both ways. But you wonder, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how we have to walk through these things with people, and sometimes people need to be put out, rebuked, corrected, and they need to get out of that flesh, and they need to quit listening to their heart, following their heart. They need to quit rebelling against God, and they need to fully submit and walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, if we walk in the Spirit, we're not condemned, but if we do walk in the Spirit, we're in condemnation. So what's your thoughts on that, Sister Amin? People that just, they might give up 80% of their flesh, but about 15% of the things they really love, they hold on to tight, and then they war against God, and it creates a whole bunch of problems.
Well, it's usually, you can always see evidence of it.
Yeah.
Even somebody who can fully submit their lives in the physical sense, read it in the Word, do it. Read it, do it, read it, do it. You can usually see a lack of love, a lack of desire for the gospel.
Not the fruit of the Spirit coming out.
Yeah, it's like dead, vain works. You can easily see that. I guess on the flip side of that, people who have to deal with people like that have to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh.
Yep.
And you have to walk in the middle of that, because you might know somebody for a long time, or whatever, you got to put that aside and look at the truth and the
Jesus
word.
Had a Judas.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes they're right among us.
Yeah, and it was just said the other day, you know, all the way at the end. It could be people that look and act like it all the way at the end.
Yeah, judge nothing before it's time, the scripture says. We got to let these things play out. Not to say this person can't make it through, can't repent, can't be either become a child of God or already is a child of God. Not to say that, because unless someone's turned over and has blasphemed the Holy Spirit, which I don't even think is possible today. That's a whole other story. I have an article on that, the teaching blog. But unless someone's turned over by God, there's hope for everybody. And so, but they have to come through. And when it gets to that point where they, for a long time, have held onto their flesh, they need to go and deal with God. You've given them all the scripture truth. You've given them the gospel. You've given them everything you can. They need to go and get it done with God.
Yeah, it's flat out rebellion.
Yeah, they need to do a final purging. They might have cleaned out 20 cabinets in their life, but they got one they're holding on to.
Spirit and letter.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of the letter without the spirit.
Yeah.
But without the spirit, what's going
to
happen?
And the great danger is if people keep holding out on God that long and holding on to things they should surrender, he may turn them over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They may get darker and darker.
Yep.
And then there's no way back once he's turned you over. So
right.
I just wanted to talk about that. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be me, where we hold on to flesh. There's nothing in us that we should hold on to in our flesh. We should surrender fully to Christ. We should become servants, doulos, slaves to Christ, and submit and surrender everything. He told the rich man, the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. So we need to look at our lives and go, what one area am I holding out on God where I still want to hold on to my way, my pride, my arrogance, my intellectualism, my rebellion? And you better root that out, because it will be a cancer that will destroy you. We're seeing that in this person's life. Mm-hmm. We've warned them. They've held on to it for so long. Even when they said they got rid of it, they still were holding on to it. They got to come clean with God. They got to work it out with fear and trembling.
Yeah, because doesn't Peter say, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what of the ungodly? I use that today.
Yep. What's going to become of the sinner? Yeah, the ungodly. Yeah, so just a warning there about the heart of man, whether it's unregenerated, even the regenerate heart of man, we believe people can fall back.
Oh, yeah.
People can go into sin. They can stay in their flesh, all kinds of reasons. So, be cautious of that in your life. Be cautious of it in other people's lives. There comes a time when people need to be ready. I'll just say it. Paul turned the man in sexual sin over to Satan for his flesh to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But the saving of his soul. Don't even know what that means exactly in all detail. But sometimes we got to turn people over to themselves, maybe in this case, to say, go. We've helped you all we can. Go work it out with the Father. Or if you're going to choose, go into the darkness if that's what you want.
Right.
But you can't walk with God's people and holding on to the flesh and pride and rebellion. And the heart of man must die. We must fully submit, and we must rise up as new creations in all areas.
Right. And you have to be careful that somebody struggling through that, or just not even fighting through it, doesn't become a stumbling block for other people.
Amen.
And being allowed to be able to do such things.
Yeah, we don't drag people around. We don't push people around.
Nope.
We'll help people.
Yep.
And
but
so
you got to do it on your own.
Hopefully there'll be a good outcome to this, but I just wanted to bring that up today. The heart of man, deceitfully wicked. Kill your flesh and walk in the spirit. Root out all that leaven in your life.
Amen.
Do you have a scripture verse for us today, Sister Amin?
I do. It's Psalm 119:160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
I like that. Endureth forever. That's what we have to do. We have to endure in this life.
We do.
To make it to forever.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. I do have a scripture verse. Today we were standing out, and Brother Zealous was preaching, asking people if they fear God. Nobody feared God. That happens often when I do that. Nobody fears God. I want to talk about how this verse, where nobody takes God's wrath serious enough today. People just are not afraid of God. 2 Peter 2:4-6. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Wow. People need to fear God. They need to take his wrath serious, because it is coming.
It is.
We've seen it. in all over the scriptures, and it's coming back. When Christ returns, he's going to judge with flaming fire, 2 Thessalonians 1. And we just like to remind people the goodness of God and the severity needs to be considered.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's both there. We see that.
Yeah. Amen. Tomorrow, we hope to stand outside a religious building, and then we hope to find a park, and we're going to do ministry in a park. And I think Brother Zelos has some things he wants to do on his van, and we always have. Sister Armin, do we always have ministry
yes,
things
we
to
do?
Yeah, we always do. The Lord keeps us very busy, so we hope this audio has edified you. Anything else today, Sister Armin?
I'm just thankful to be a godly, holy woman sharing the truth, and maybe an encouragement to somebody out there that's listening.
Yeah.
And love and sister hugs. And I hope everybody presses on and strives on. You got to do it on your own. All we can do is press one another on.
Yep. We can help each other, but you must do it. You must carry it out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like people that are married. We can help them, encourage them, give them advice. They got to get the job done.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thankful that I have a godly wife to do ministry with. I have a godly brother now traveling with me doing ministry, and his godly wife as a sister. And I got to say, it warmed my heart today to see the two little ones in the wagon with their mom and dad preaching Christ crucified. That was pretty heartwarming.
Oh, and they sat there really well, too.
Yeah, they sat there well. They did really good. They're well behaved.
That is an awesome, awesome witness for people to see that, too.
Yep. That the kids don't have to be running around and crazy and yelling and screaming.
Right.
They can sit patiently.
Peace and
order. wait for their parents to do their ministry.
Yeah.
And then they get a reward. They get to go for a walk, or they get to go and, well, today it was eat lunch. We preached past their lunchtime, so they were hungry. But, yeah, it's a blessing to be out with other saints, and I'm thankful to God for what he's doing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. So tomorrow we hope we have another day, and we're going to do that ministry at a church possibly, and we'll have more audio and video and just more witnessing and street preaching every day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just do events. We're out there in the world. It kind of warms my heart to see that man just walk right up and sit down and have the truth poured into him today. It makes our travels and our challenges and our issues out here in van life, it makes it worth it when you see a seeker like that get truth from the Word of God.
Yeah, it reminds me real quick. Sister, I think 2 days ago, said, you know, she was thinking about this, how seekers will come right up to you. And I
bust
say,
right
yeah,
in.
You know what? I think they kick the door down. Seekers want to know what you have to say.
Right.
We don't know what they do with it. The next day, she's in her van. She's cooking something for the little ones, and a woman on the other side, on their big window,
knocks on the window,
pounding on the window and crying and needing the truth. And sister was able to go out there and give her the most precious gift of life there ever was.
That's awesome. That's why we're out here.
Yes, you were talking about how that guy walked up. He came right up to her, and we see that often. The Lord sends people right up to us.
As the Bible verse says, he said, who will go and who will tell? Send me, Lord.
Send me.
Send us. And so the Lord has sent us, and we're going, and we are telling. I hope that you're more than a listener of God's word. I hope you're a hearer. You got the mockers that ignore. You got the people that stand and listen. But then you got to be a hearer. And then right after hear, what do you got to
do?
You got to be a doer. And so we're here to help you be a listener, hearer, and a doer of the word of God. Check out all of our resources. Check out that preach we did today, and we'll be at it again tomorrow, Lord willing.
Amen.
Love you all. Strive for the kingdom. Be a doer of his holy word.
Amen. May God be praised.